Happy Easter season. We're still continuing in the joy of this Easter season, and I wish you a happy Easter again. This past week, I was in touch with my older daughter, Elizabeth, who lives in Connecticut, along with her husband, Danny, and they've settled in there. They love living there, and they feel good being up in that area, back in the Northeast. They love it up there. My daughter is a teacher. She is a graduate of UNC Greensboro, with her undergraduate and graduate degrees from there in music. And she's really drawn to music. She plays the viola, but also the violin, the cello, and the bass. And in Connecticut, she teaches in a school system and is an orchestra teacher. She teaches orchestra to elementary school children, which she really loves. The school districts up there are really strong in their arts programs. The school district that she teaches in, all the elementary schools have an orchestra program. All the middle schools have an orchestra program. And the high school has orchestra program, as well as choral programs and band programs as well. There is a commitment to the arts that is equal to the commitment to the sports in their budgets. And so it's a very, very strong arts program. And parenthetically, this is not really part of my homily, but this is one of the weaknesses, I think, of our own Wake County schools is the weakness in our arts programs. They have just been decimated. They've just been eliminated. Both my daughters grew up here in our schools here and had orchestra throughout their schooling here. My youngest daughter, Rebecca, plays the violin, and Elizabeth plays the viola and has gone on to teach in music. So just think that there's a weakness there, I think, in our educational system in that our children don't have access to the arts as much as I think they should. And there's a lot of children being denied that gift. And also for those who are committed to art, to science and math, many say that when you learn music, it helps in math as well, so that's another advocate. So that's the end of my editorial. But Elizabeth teaches in orchestra. She loves the elementary school kids, loves that beginning of that experience. She gives lessons in all the stringed instruments and just loves what she does. They're beginning to get ready for the end of the year, and there are concerts that they do. You know, they get ready for the big concert, and the families come, parents come, and friends come to watch them perform, and they're all excited about it. My daughter was telling me that about a week and a half ago, she was in class with the kids, and they were in the auditorium where they're going to be performing this concert. They were rehearsing. So they were up on the stage of the auditorium, and it was the beginning of the class, and the students were opening their cases and getting their instruments out, getting set up, so kind of that kind of little bit of hecticness before they actually start. And over in the corner of the stage, she saw these, a few fourth graders, these were all fourth graders, a few fourth graders over in the corner. They had their instruments out, but they were really going at it with each other. There was this debate going on. She could hear them talking. So Elizabeth goes over to them to make sure, you know, what's going on. She goes, whoa, calm down, what's going on? Nothing. What is it you guys are talking about? Oh, we're debating. We have different opinions, we're debating. So Elizabeth says, what are you debating about? And one of them said, well, we're debating about what would be the safest way to get off this stage and out of this auditorium if a shooter came in. Exactly how I responded. Fourth graders. It just strikes me, you know, that we live in such a fractious time. And to just hear what some of these children are carrying around in their lives. We here at St. Paul's, we've been kind of looking to engage with a ministry that has to do with the results of what's described as chronic stress or chronic abuse in childhood. And in the last maybe couple decades, a realization of the effects that can have on later life, not just emotionally or mentally or psychologically, but physically. They've been looking at diseases that can be affected by this heart disease. Diabetes can be greatly affected by some of these kind of early experiences in our lives. They're called ACEs, and the markers that kind of mark what it is that touches our lives. We showed the movie Resilience here a couple of weeks ago for a few folks, and we're looking in June to look at showing that movie again to the wider parish and perhaps folks in the community, just to bring about this kind of awareness of this kind of, I don't know the better word, but chronic stress or chronic abuse in childhood, and how to build resilience, how to enable children to be aware of that, and how to address it. And our own op-ed parishioner, Alita McClenny, Alita Payne, wrote an article, if you saw the news in Observer this past week, just an excellent article on this particular topic, this particular issue. And I highly recommend you read that if you haven't had a chance to. But it's that idea of this woundedness that is in our midst. It's not something new, but it's an awareness of it that I think is new. And it opens up lots of our understandings of some of the results, but then challenge, how do we look and address this? So when I looked at the readings this past week to prepare a homily today, it's kind of through that lens, particularly the lens of those fourth graders. We're just trying to figure out a way to get off this stage and out of this room if a shooter comes in. I just, with that lens, I was hearing this gospel reading today. And the part of the gospel that strikes me is Thomas. Oftentimes we call him Doubting Thomas. The story is told that the risen Christ appears to the disciples, but for some reason Thomas isn't there, which intrigues me right away. He's somewhere, we don't know where. But they tell Thomas, we've seen the risen Christ. And Thomas says, very interesting line, unless I can see the wounds, touch the wounds of his hands and his side, I won't believe. That's why Thomas is called Doubting Thomas. And it's oftentimes said in a negative way, as if doubt is not part of the faith journey. First of all, it oftentimes is. Most of us probably live our faith lives doubting, wondering, questioning, pondering as we journey forth. But I'm not so sure that's a fair description of Thomas. The others had experienced the risen Christ, and they had seen the wounds as well. It says there in the ring, they had seen the wounds. So they tell Thomas. But Thomas isn't satisfied just to have heard about them seeing the wounds. Thomas wants to touch the wound. Thomas wants to experience that wound. And in the midst of that woundedness, to experience the risen Christ. For Thomas, it's there that the risen Christ is alive. There was a book written years ago by a great spiritual writer called Henry Nouwen, called The Wounded Healer. The Wounded Healer. Even that phrase, without reading the book, captures us. This sense of true healing coming from a place of woundedness and bring about healing in others. And Christ was that sign of wounded healer, this suffering servant. I think the prophet Isaiah speaks of the suffering servant. Christ was that. And so what's interesting is, while Thomas wants to touch the wounds, isn't it interesting that the risen Christ has the wounds still seen? That's an interesting thought in itself, just that image. It's not that everything is now perfect, everything is, but Christ comes among them, raised from the dead, new hope, new possibility, new life, still bearing the wounds, but having gone through those wounds to new life. That to me is a very, very significant image in my mind. The risen Christ calls us to our woundedness. The risen Christ calls us to the woundedness and fractured place of our society and our culture, our country, to like Thomas, to touch the woundedness. Not just hear about it, but to touch it, to experience it, and there bring about new hope, new possibilities, new things in our lives. It strikes me that we have just become so fractious, so broken as a society and as a country that we can't even talk with each other. And not talking with each other, we can't even begin to come up with ideas of going forward. With you know, these children in Connecticut, with that conversation, you know, while we go about having, you know, moments of silence and go about not even talking to each other to find solutions to a very complex issue, our children are hiding in corners, trying to figure out how to escape if a shooter comes in. And we can't be okay with that. We need to find ways to work together, to be in the midst of the woundedness. Not just that particular, there's lots of woundedness. There's lots of areas of woundedness. But how do we begin to engage with that, to touch it, to feel it, and to sense the risen Christ in the midst of that? I have a feeling this Easter season for me has been a real reflection, both last week, Easter Day, and this week. This confronting the brokenness and the fracturedness. And trying to find hope and possibility in new life. So as we walk through this Easter season, I offer that thought to you today. Don't make Doubting Thomas just someone you push to the side, but see him as someone who really engaged and came to faith, came to belief, as all the disciples of Jesus did. And may we continue in that journey of faith, going forth into our broken world and our broken lives and proclaiming that new hope, that new possibility, that new life that Jesus Christ offers us.